Forgiveness can be difficult. Forgiveness can be difficult, maybe even impossible. Forgiveness can be difficult, maybe impossible, yet it can be done. And I would say it must be done. Matthew chapter 18. After Jesus tells a parable, a story, then he concludes in verse 35. And I won't go into the story because I went into that a couple of weeks ago. That's what my Heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. God will not forgive you. That's what he's saying. God will not forgive you if we don't forgive our brothers and sisters from the heart. In Mark chapter 11, verse 35. And where did it go? 25. That'll do it. 25. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. Different story, different passage, different time. So he's now said it twice. We must forgive. And even the Apostle Paul, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Forgiveness can be difficult, maybe even impossible, and yet it can be done, and it must be done. Jesus dramatically tells us to forgive from the heart. That's what he's doing. He's telling us very clearly, because he loves us. It can be done because he's going to help us. I'll get to that later in the message as to how to do that. But Jesus is very serious. Very serious when he says you must forgive. So let me pray for us as we move into this message. Lord Jesus, sometimes the things that you ask us to do, sometimes the things that you command us to do as your children is difficult and sometimes impossible. We pray as a church that you will give us courage to obey you. You will help us. Holy Spirit, would you work in our hearts? Holy Spirit, would you work in our minds? Would you help us? We say to you, God, we love you, as we have sung here this morning. And then we want to obey you. Help us. So in your name, Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ, we take authority over any strongholds and evil spirits and lies that are touching our hearts and our minds against forgiveness. In the name of Jesus, we take authority over all unforgiveness, all bitterness, all resentment. We bind it, we silence it, and we throw it all to your feet, Jesus. We ask you, Jesus, help us this morning. Because this is so important. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. And we say with all of our heart and our mind, our soul, our spirit, and our body, amen. Amen. Judy, would you help me out here with something? Just a monkey on my back. I was listening to a podcast this week. John Ortberg was visiting with Carrie Newhoff, and he said this: to forgive someone means that I agree that there was a wrong that was done that cannot be excused. Because if I excuse something, then it doesn't require forgiveness. Let me read it again. To forgive someone means I agree that there was a wrong that was done that cannot be excused. Because if I can excuse something, then it doesn't require forgiveness. Forgiveness is acknowledging that what they did was horribly wrong and hurtful. If we have to forgive someone for something, it means it was wrong. It hurt us. It affected us. We can't just push it away. And too many times that's what people say. Just forgive and move on. But it hurts. It is a big deal. It is a big deal. Now, the danger comes in when we end up morphing it and we make it into a bigger deal than it needs to be. And we let it spiral out of control. I'll get to that a little bit later. But it also means that we need to realize that our amount of sin towards God is also wrong and hurtful. You see, we sometimes miss that somebody hurts us and it hurts. And we feel horribly offended. Well, that's the way God feels. Our sin actually hurts God too. And it affects Him. And that's why He says, come, confess your sins. I will forgive you. But you need to put it aside. We often think that forgiveness is supposed to be instant. Where do we get that idea? Because it can't. And it shouldn't be, because it takes time. In a couple of weeks, I'll be sharing a story of 2.5 years of hurt and wound and unforgiveness that I held towards the church. And how God walked me through it, completely through it. So you have to come back in 2 weeks. Next week too, but. Now, what is forgiveness? Or actually, what forgiveness is not? Let me review, because we have this thing in our minds about what forgiveness is, but what it is not, it's not forgive and forget. See, if we go to Hebrews chapter 8, because we use this phrase forgive and forget, but if we go to Hebrews chapter 8 verse 12, God is saying, which He also says in Jeremiah, so He says it twice. And I, God says, and I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins. So we're told, you're tracking with me, we're told that, well, we're supposed to forgive and forget. We're supposed to be like God, but we're not. We're human, and God knows that. But he holds a standard up here, and he says, I will forgive their wickedness. I will forgive your wickedness, and I will never again remember your sin. What he's saying there, can God actually forget? This thing is throwing you off, isn't it? Track with me here. Can God actually forget? No. He is all-knowing. But what it's saying here is that he doesn't bring that sin from the past and bring it up and shove it in our face. He remembers it no more. He doesn't bring it before us. He's forgiven it, and he pushes it away. But like I said, we remember. And we'll get into that in the steps a little later, as to how to actually get rid of the unforgiveness. Forgiveness is not approving of what someone did to you. It's okay, it doesn't matter. No, forgiveness is not pretending that the offense had not taken place. It never happened. I'll let it go. No. Forgiveness is not making excuses for the other person's bad behavior. We see that in the court system. Well, this person went through this, that, and the other thing. That's why they did that. We don't make excuses. What somebody has said or done that hurts us actually said and done that. Forgiveness is not restoring a relationship when it is not safe to do so. There are some relationships that cannot, that must not be restored because it's not safe. We can still forgive, but it doesn't mean we have to be friends again or have relationships. Forgiveness is not trusting when reliable behavior on their part is absent. You forgive, you may even reconcile, but they haven't changed what they've done. Trust and forgiveness are two different things. You can forgive a person, but sometimes the person has to re-earn the trust that they once had. Forgiveness is not telling the person you forgive them before they're ready to hear it. You walk up to somebody who offended you, I forgive you for that. Whoa, what do you mean? I didn't do anything. No, it's right here. Forgiveness is a me and God issue, not a me and them issue. Or even before they're ready to hear it, or even before you're ready to say it. And forgiveness is not canceling negative consequences, including justice. There is still restitution. There are still consequences to sin and hurt that people may have to go through. Now, 2 weeks ago, I took us through a little bit of an application and reflection from 2 weeks ago. Asking the Holy Spirit to show you whom you need to forgive, and then just pray. Don't contact the person, and journal and work through the event and how it made you feel, and forgive as you're able. Praying about the situation. I think it's the next slide. You just move to the next slide. There we go. Perfect. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you whom you need to forgive. Now I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. Okay, who did that? Who has somebody to forgive? I'm going to assume that most of us. Maybe somebody in the past, maybe somebody now, probably somebody in the future. Newsflash. At some point, while I'm your pastor, I will probably offend you. not intentionally, not on purpose, at least that's not the plan, but I will hurt you at some point. I was just going to say, you know, I'm close to perfect, but I just lied. Yeah. I will. That's just relationship. But the neat thing is that we have enough of a relationship that you can come to me and say, Pastor, what you said or did here, that really hurt me. I will apologize. Because we have a relationship and we care about each other. But just know that will happen. It will happen in the church. It will. Now, why does it matter? Why is Jesus and the Apostle Paul so adamant that we forgive? What's in it for me? Part of it is Jesus saying there are some real reasons. Number one is you get to experience healing. Spiritual, emotional healing. Maybe you can think of someone that you have held offense towards. You have unforgiveness towards. They really hurt you. And you think of a time when you were actually able to forgive and work through it. It feels like a monkey fell off your back. You see, we carry a lot of our emotional and spiritual weight on our shoulders. I remember a number of years ago in a different church, there's one guy who was a kind of a massage therapist and a good friend of mine, and he came up behind me and just started massaging my shoulders. And he goes, wow, those shoulders are really tight. He goes, just drop your shoulders a little bit. And he worked on it, and then he goes, and he told me, and I'd never realized before, that when we carry emotional and spiritual weight, it's on our shoulders, physically, like we feel it. That's why sometimes when I say, oh, let's pray and drop your shoulders, because we walk around with our, like, feel it right now. What's your shoulders doing? Is it up or is it down? We get some healing there. If we forgive, we keep our children and others from falling. Our kids know when we hold unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment. And that is not helping them spiritually either. So we help our kids when we forgive. We cover over a multitude of sins. We cover sins, not to push away, but we give grace and mercy to other people as we forgive. We prevent, and I talked about this a couple weeks ago, we prevent the devil from gaining a foothold in our life. The devil wants to get in there and put a chain on our ankles or a chain on our head or a monkey on our back to slow us down. Another benefit. Why? Well, God will forgive us. He'll forgive us as we forgive others. And then we will receive an eternal reward. There's a blessing now, but there's a blessing that comes later. Now, what about those steps? How do we get that monkey off our back? Very simple. Number one, ask the Lord to forgive you for not forgiving as He forgave you. Ask the Lord to forgive me for not forgiving as He has already forgiven me. To confess, God, I have unforgiveness towards so-and-so. I have bitterness, I have resentment. Please forgive me. Step number two, then choose to forgive. Choose to forgive. Now, I was thinking about this cute monkey. Each of my kids have one of these, and my two boys especially, they would put it on their neck when they were smaller. They could put it right around, and they'd run around the whole house with these things on their back. It's funny, if you can imagine little kids running around with a monkey on their back. It's hilarious. These are made by Judy's mom. It's great. And sometimes these monkeys get comfortable. Sometimes our unforgiveness becomes comfortable, but it's still something on our backs, on our shoulders. So what we need to do is get rid of the monkey and take it off our back and put it away. And just put it away. Choose to forgive, even if it doesn't feel like it. Like, we wait for our feelings, but sometimes, you know, I don't really want to exercise. I don't want to go for a run on my treadmill. I don't want to work on my weights. I don't want to go for a walk. It just doesn't feel right. But I get up and do it most of the time. So we choose to forgive. We choose to forgive and say, okay, God, with your strength, I choose to forgive so-and-so for what they did or what they said. I just choose it. And the feelings will come later. Maybe several times we have to say it, that day or that hour. Or maybe five times in a row, I choose to forgive. Now, how do you work at letting it go? Now, I'm gonna get it on our social media and our website. So if you can't write it all down, that's okay. But what you do is you take a piece of paper or in your journal, and I encourage everyone to have a journal. Sometime I'll talk about how to journal, but you write down what the person did or what they said. You just write it down. Then you write down how you reacted in that situation. What did you do? What did you say? And how did it make you feel? You see, the reason why it hurt you is it touched something in here. It made you feel something that you didn't like. That's why it hurt. It touched you deep inside. So write it down. What did it make you feel? It may even take you to a previous memory. That's a whole different conversation that we can have. But how did it make you feel? That's why it hurts. It triggered something. Then, after you've written it down, then you say, God, what do you want to say to me personally? What do you want to say to me? What do you say about that situation, about what they said? And then you listen and you just write it down. And then you say, Lord, what do you want to say to me about the offender? What do you want to say to me about this person that hurt me? Because there's two players in a situation. Or more. What do you want to say to me? See, what happens is we get our perspective. We get his perspective over ours. He understands. And then we pray for the offender. I don't feel like praying. Well, they probably need our prayers. So we pray for them. And that begins to unlock a little bit in our hearts as we pray for that person. We pray for them. And then we ask, how can we bless, if we can, if it's appropriate, how can we bless and do good for the person that hurt us? And then ask the Lord to heal the heart. Ask the Lord to heal your heart. Lord, my heart is hurt. My heart is wounded. My heart doesn't feel right. Would you just heal my heart? Now, you may have, that's why this thing about nothing's instant, because it takes a process. Again, I'll share with you in a couple of weeks how it took me 2.5 years to work through a situation. It takes time. It takes time for it to get deeper into our heart. So give ourselves a little more grace, a little more mercy, a little more gentleness to work through however deep that is. It takes time. Now, a couple of other helpful points that might help us as we walk through this. And I remember somebody telling me about this last week. It was great. Stop rehearsing the wrong and punishing the offender in your head. We replay it. We replay what they did. And in a way to actually get over this, we tell a couple of other people, in confidence, in secret, but we tell other people about what this person did because somehow it feels a little better. And so what we do is we end up playing that situation over and over and over, whether it's in our mind or in a conversation. And that's where it starts to grow. All of a sudden, this thing is just growing like anything. We need to stop rehearsing what happened. That's why I say, write it down, put it on the piece of paper. And then the other thing you can do with that piece of paper is just write forgive right over top of it when it's all done. Then listen how the Lord turned what was intended for evil into something good. God loves doing that. He loves taking something that was just so hurtful, maybe even so evil. But if you ask God, He can show you, this is what I brought out of it. This is what I did for you in the midst of all that happened. This is what I've done for you. Can you see it? Oh, a terrible situation. God, you did something in me. Thank you. And if you're courageous enough, ask Him, is there anything that you did? Is there anything that I did that actually contributed to this situation? Most situations, many situations, it's not just the other person. We may have done something too. And it'd be good to ask God, say, I probably did something in this situation too. We need to ask Him. So next week, I'm going to talk about how to ask for forgiveness of an offender. What do we do to another person that we have hurt? We're going to talk about that, and then in a couple weeks I'll share you my story. Now let's go to the application and reflection of practicing forgiveness. Read over the verses over the last couple weeks. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you whom you need to forgive. Just pray. Don't contact the person. You don't have to. Journal and work through the event and how it made you feel. Forgive as you are able. Keep praying about the situation. Now, I'm realizing as I started this series, it'll be 5 sessions, 5 messages. This thing is huge, and I can't cover everything. So I invite you, if you have a particular situation and going, I just can't see my way through the woods, let's sit and talk about it. We'll talk about it, and we'll process it. We'll listen to God as to what He wants to say about it, and I'll help you through. If there's any way I can help you, let me know. So I'm going to ask the team to come, and then I'm going to conclude with Hebrews chapter 12. I want to wrap up this message with this very clear challenge and encouragement for us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. This is for us as a church. Work at living in peace with everyone. And work at living a holy life, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord. So work at it. Keep working at peace. Keep working at being holy. Look after each other. Look after each other so that no one fails to receive the grace of God. We look after each other. We care for each other. You care for me as your pastor. I care for you as your pastor. We care for each other as friends, as a church. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you. Now, most of the message has been about you individually. But as I've said, often in the epistles, in the letters by the Apostle Paul and others, it's you plural. So he's saying here, I believe, watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble us together as a church. Let no offense, let no bitterness, let no resentment grow up as a church. That's what the devil would love to do. Corrupting many. I wonder, in the beginning of chapter 12, the Apostle Paul says, to get rid of the sin that so entangles, so easily entangles. You remember that phrase? I wonder if it's this. He doesn't say what it is, but I wonder if it's bitterness, resentment, and unforgiveness. That we allow that into our church. We allow that into our lives. We're sunk. Be careful. We don't let it into our lives. We don't let it into this church. Let's stand, please. You would. Lord Jesus, thank you for your grace to us. I just sense, Jesus, you're looking at us with a concerned face. You're not looking at us with an angry face saying, you must forgive. You're looking at us with love, but a stern love, inviting us to come to you. Jesus, forgive us as we forgive those who sin and trespass against us. Give us courage. And in the name of Jesus, we say to you, evil one, you devil, you will not have your way in our lives and in this church. By the authority of Jesus Christ, who founded this church, who's built this church, until you come back again, Jesus, one day, probably soon. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. And we all say,